a youth group here for middle and high school students. And the structure of that, I have a couple of ideas, but I would really like input from the students and parents. So we're going to have an informational meeting on the 22nd to figure out what we want this to look like and how we can move forward. So if you are a middle or high school student or parent, please plan to attend that meeting. The directory that we took photos for last year, it is ready and complete, but because we did it through Shutterfly, it's actually quite expensive, and I am continuing to wait for a really good coupon. But most of the coupons that I get sent through email are not available for personalized storybooks. So I just want you to know when I can get a good coupon, we'll order them. And if you get a good coupon, please send it my way so we can order them. Also, on your way to lunch, you'll notice that the mailboxes have been redone. If there is ever something that you think should be done or that you want done, please know it's never personal that it's not getting done. It's just that I only have so much time each week, and my priorities are preaching and visiting folks. But I went out and bought a label maker this week, and we've got new mailbox labels. They're all in alphabetical order. And for the kiddos, the very bottom row has a mailbox for each kiddo in alphabetical order. We have one prayer shawl to bless this morning. It is for Linda Sturtevant, who is Libby Carrick's sister-in-law. So Libby's brother Woody died this week, and this is his wife. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer and ask that you would bless this prayer shawl, that as Linda places it upon her shoulders or upon her lap, that she would feel the weight of the love and care that we have for her here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church as she grieves the loss of her husband. We give you thanks that we do not grieve as those without hope, because through your resurrection, you have defeated death forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Go. And one final announcement. I hope that you all are praying for John Lohr daily as he's on the prayer list. But John has had a really tough week. He had to go to the emergency room Tuesday night because he was in a lot of pain, and because he can't keep anything down, he was very dehydrated. Well, he went back to the emergency room in the middle of the night, last night, and is being admitted because he has a really severe infection in his intestines. And it is so strong that they need to use very high dose IV antibiotics. So if you will please hold John and Susan in your prayers. This is a really challenging time for them, and he is only 1/4 of the way through his chemo journey. He's supposed to get his third treatment out of 8 this week. So please hold them in your heart and in your prayers. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. I think Cameron forgot. Do you mind doing it? Okay. Which one do you want to do? This one? Okay. Will you push it up a little bit more for me? Oops. Come on, Anna. There we go. Well done, buddy. Well done. Yes. please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's peace, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. And through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, throughout the ages, you transform sickness into health and death into life. Open us to the power of your presence and make us a people ready to proclaim your promises to the whole world. Through Jesus Christ, our healer and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hello, Cameron. Hello, Kate. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Maddie. And good morning over there, Brantley. Well, I don't know if you were singing along or if you heard some of the words of that gathering hymn, but the chorus or the refrain said that I will sing a new song, just like all of creation sings a new song, that I will sing a new song too. And so I thought maybe we could learn a new song together. Would that be okay? All right, so this song is sung to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Do you all know that song? Do you all know Twinkle, Twinkle? Do you know Twinkle, Twinkle? Okay, so I'm gonna sing this through once, and then maybe we can try to sing it together if we can remember. I'm gonna start low, because sometimes I start too high and it gets squeaky, so let me start kind of low. Let's see, I can't get twinkle, twinkle, twinkle. Stand up, sit down, sing and pray. We are going to church today. Jesus' stories we will hear. See our friends and feel God near. Stand up, sit down, sing and pray. We are going to church today. Do you want to try to sing the first part with me? Maybe the congregation can help too if you remember it. Stand up, sit down, sing and pray. We are going to church today. Jesus' stories we will hear. See our friends and feel God near. Stand up, sit down, sing and pray. We are going to church today. That was beautiful. Well, I'm going to send these words to your parents so that if you, on Sundays when you're going to church, want to sing this song, that you can sing it. Would that be okay if I sent it to your parents? All right. Well, will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other.
Thank you for children.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you for music,
and for all of the songs that we get to sing. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up. You may go with Jane to Children's Church today.
The New Testament lesson is from Acts chapter 2. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same thing with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I had the opportunity to brag on you all this week to some friends of mine. We were talking about some of the challenges of preaching, and I said to them, "I feel so fortunate to have so many faithful people in my congregation that I can preach about hard things, both hard as in content and hard as is how do we make sense of this, that I can preach this to you, that I don't have to dumb it down because you are interested and you are thoughtful and you are faithful." And so it is my joy to preach for you every single Sunday. So we are nearing the end of our summer sermon series on Holy Communion, and I think it's safe to say that it is no secret that we love to eat here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Right? Whether it's a donut and coffee breakfast or a sandwich lunch with an ice cream bar on rally day, whether it's a Wednesday evening meal for Advent or Lent, maybe it's a reception after worship with cake or cookies and nuts and some of Gaynell's mints, whether it's an agape meeting or a brotherhood meeting, or you know my favorite, a potluck. The fact is that we love food. And not only do we love food, but we love eating together and gathering with one another around the table. And we come by it honest, because not only is it part of our Lutheran heritage, but it is part of who we are as followers of Jesus. Because the church has been eating together since Jesus created her on the day of Pentecost. And even before that, throughout his whole ministry, Jesus ate with his followers and with tax collectors and with sinners. In Luke's gospel, one of the very first things that Jesus did after he rose from the dead was eat with his followers. And when he did, he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. And so loving food and loving to eat together, it's just part of who we are as followers of Jesus. And so I'm sure it's of no surprise to any of you that Jesus instituted this holy meal in the context of a meal, in the middle of the last Passover meal that he shared with his disciples. He took the bread and the wine and told them that they were his body and blood, and that they were to have this meal in remembrance of him. But maybe what is surprising for us is what that meal actually looked like, and what that might mean for us as we share this meal every Lord's Day. So it's important for us to remember that Jesus and his earliest followers were Jews, right? It wasn't until late first century, early second century, that there was a definitive split of those of the Jesus movement and those of the movement of Judaism. As a result of Jesus and his earliest followers being Jewish, Christian worship, the worship service that we have, is deeply rooted in Jewish concepts and practices, like the concept that the saving power of a past event is brought into the present through reenactment. The concept that the saving power of a past event is brought into the present through reenactment. This is how our Jewish siblings celebrate their Passover meal, right? Just a little refresher. The Passover is the event in the book of Exodus when, after having been enslaved for hundreds of years in Egypt, God heard the cries of God's people and freed them from slavery. Now, certainly this story is much longer and more detailed than I can go into today. But after God freed the Israelites, God commanded them to celebrate the Passover event every year, forever. Thousands of years later, our Jewish siblings continue to celebrate the Passover yearly. And the Passover celebration is characterized by praise and joy and thanksgiving. And so this means that our modern Christian idea that Passover is like a funeral, or that it is a solemn event or a somber occasion, isn't accurate. This false understanding probably comes from movies and TV shows that we've watched. But the Passover celebration is so far from being a sad and sorrowful occasion. The Passover is a joyful celebration of God's redemption. It has always been a joyful event. And this is where it gets interesting. The remembering aspect of the Passover is not just the memory of it, or the cognitive recalling of a past event. I wish we had an alternative English word for this kind of remembering, because when we say remember, we think of digging back in the files of our brain to find some information. But that's not what we're talking about. This is a completely different kind of remembering. This kind of remembering is the present participation in the past event. So the ones celebrating and eating the Passover meal re-experience the past event in the present as if they were the very ones crossing the Red Sea. To remember the events in the Passover is to experience them anew in the present. And so think about how when the Israelites were getting ready to enter the Promised Land 40 years after the Passover, Moses spoke to that generation as if they themselves had been brought out of Egypt, when actually it was their parents and their grandparents who had been redeemed by God on that night. This kind of remembering, it's not simply a cognitive event or task. This kind of remembering is to experience the redemptive presence of God again, just as their ancestors did that night. Now, I know this is really hard to wrap our minds around. This is a sermon I've been wanting to preach for years, but haven't had the words and the ability to put it all together because it's really complicated, but it's also very powerful. So this kind of remembering, this kind of reenactment that Jesus and his disciples were participating in as they celebrated the Passover the night before Jesus' crucifixion, which again was not somberful, it was not solemn, it wasn't like a funeral, it was a joyful celebration. And in the Passover liturgy, there is a host, which that night was Jesus. And during the Passover and the celebration, Jesus as host would have given a homily during which he would have retold the redemptive story of the Passover. He would have interpreted it, and he would have helped the others who were participating in the celebration by participating in the celebration of remembering, apply the significance of the redemption in the present, in the here and now. But this particular night, the night of the Last Supper, this is where it's a little bit different. Because that night, as Jesus ate the last Passover meal with his disciples, he reinterpreted for them the meaning of the celebration of the meal in light of his death and resurrection. Because as we know, Jesus' death and resurrection changes everything. And so Jesus is reinterpreting them for them the meaning of this meal in light of his death and resurrection. And his words of institution emphasize that for his followers, which now include us, that this meal would now be emphasized, that this meal would remember his death and resurrection. Just like the Passover meal celebrates the saving work of God in the Exodus, not as a past reality, but a present reality, so the meal that Jesus instituted celebrates the saving work of Jesus, not as a past memory, but as a present reality. The Lord's Supper remembers, brings into the present, the redeeming work of Christ's death and resurrection, not as a past event, but as a present event, as if we were the very ones sitting around the table with Jesus that night, and as if we were the very ones who journeyed with Jesus to Emmaus, and were there when he was revealed in the breaking of bread. In this kind of remembering, we give thanks and praise to God for what God has already done in Jesus, and for what God is still doing in the present through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Because in this way, God has made the event happen again in the present. Now again, I know this is hard to wrap our minds around, and we know that there is so much more happening at this table than we can see with our eyes. But when we participate in this meal, when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," we are standing in the presence of what God has already done, and we are experiencing anew its saving power in the present. Yes, the Eucharist is a past event, and it's an event in the present, because our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ is at this table. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but after God's word is spoken over each element, we say, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then I bow. I bow in reverence and thanksgiving because at that point in the liturgy, the presence of Jesus has become part of the bread and the wine, and our risen and living Lord is in our midst. And so I bow, and you are invited to bow in reverence and thanksgiving to Christ, who is present at this table and in the bread and wine. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus' resurrection, is proclaimed in this meal because it is our host, our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ, who also offers himself to us as food. And he is present now, and he is revealed to us now in the breaking of the bread. You've heard me say this before, and I can't emphasize it enough. Communion, the Eucharist, is not a symbol. In this holy and sacred meal, we experience the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, just as the disciples did all those years ago. And when we come to this table and remember at this table, we're not just calling to mind what happened in the past. We are re-experiencing that past event in the present, as if we were the ones at that table 2,000 years ago. Whew, that's a lot to take in, is it not? It's a really hard concept to think about, to translate, to put words to. But it's incredibly powerful to know that that is what is happening at this table. Next week, we are going to explore how the earliest apostles and the followers of Jesus lived this out in their faith journeys and in their gatherings. What remembering looked like as they celebrated the Eucharist, and as the Holy Spirit brought to them in the present moment the power of Jesus' redeeming work. And so, sisters and brothers, we come to this table Sunday after Sunday because the truth is we need Jesus. We come to this table Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because we need to hear over and over again the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is risen and alive and has defeated death forever. And we come not somberly or sorrowful as if we were at a funeral, because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And our risen and living Lord is present at this table. The gift of God's redemption is here and now. So we come to this table with joy and praise and thanksgiving, because through remembering, through the reenactment, we experience the saving power of Christ now. So come and see and experience what God is doing in our midst. Come and see and feel and touch and hold the presence of the risen Christ in the bread and the wine in your hands. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.
Jesus, bread of heaven.
with the whole church, let us confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. Awaken in our communities of faith a spirit of radical hospitality. Encourage our churches to celebrate and embrace people of diverse backgrounds, experiences, and abilities. Deepen our commitment to ecumenical and interreligious partnerships. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bring forth water to nourish plants and animals in places suffering from drought. Renew our commitments to protect rivers, lakes, and streams, and make us good stewards of water in our homes and communities. Preserve wetlands, habitats, and the creatures that make their homes there. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Inspire leaders of cities, nations, and tribes to lead with wisdom and humility. Bring people to all places in conflict and strengthen global commitments to nonviolent solutions. Guide all who seek refuge from war to a safe haven. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Comfort all who live with chronic illness. Surround them in your tender embrace and sustain all who provide ongoing care and support. Bring hope and healing to people struggling with addiction and nourish the spirits of all who are in recovery. Tend to those who are close to our hearts, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, John, Mary, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those who we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Nurture in all people the gift of your creating spirit. Inspire artists and musicians, woodworkers and quilters, poets and dancers. Revive those whose artistic wells have run dry and live in all who doubt their creative talents. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks to all who have died and now find their rest in you, especially Woody Sturdivant. May their faithful witness guide us in our daily life with you. Hear us, O God.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. I invite you to move about and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
us pray together.
Jesus, bread of life,
you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, loving and faithful God. All your works from the heights to the depths echo your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light. Darkness withdrew and creation dawned. When the times at last had ripened, and the earth had grown in full abundance, your word created humankind in your image to steward all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. And so with the entire communion of saints, with angels and with the whole creation, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, gracious and merciful God. Before our beginnings, you have always been the three in one being who was and is to come. From before time, you have been dreaming us up, imagining a world, forming us into creatures who might come to love you in return. By your breath and with your hands, you made us and have written us into the long and unending story of your love. Around a table, with the ones you called to carry on your story, you, Jesus Christ, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, break, and give us, that we might be your body in the world. After the meal ended, you, Jesus, took the cup of wine. Again, you gave thanks and praise and gave the cup to your disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, pour, and give us, that we might be your life flowing for the world. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come. Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn to us your heart and nourish us at your table. By the Holy Spirit, and live in us with you one in the world, and we may show Christ's love to all people. Amen.
And I forgot to do the birthdays earlier. So I want to recognize that Todd Conrad has a birthday this week, as does Ava Murphy. Kim and Bob Troutman are celebrating their anniversary, as is Herb and Wendy Lohr, and remembering their baptism this week, Bobby Waitman, Mandy York, and Rosala Summer. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God, who provides for us, who feeds us, and who journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Body of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
God.